Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's always a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. And always good to come back home and share the word of God with you all. Amen. I hope that you'll be blessed today. So for the people who are talking, please keep quiet and listen to the word of God. Amen. This whole week we had a program. And we came here on Wednesday, we came here on Friday, and today too we are here. We are still fasting. Amen. And we call the program The Great Encounter. Amen. You see, one thing, some people don't know what encounter means. We normally say it is an experience. We don't experience God. Amen. We encounter God. Amen. And one thing I want you to understand is that when a person or when one person encounters God, many things change in the person's life. Amen. There are some people in the Bible who have encountered God. They did not experience God. They encountered him. Amen.
Amen.
Moses encountered God. Amen. When Moses encountered God, and he came back from the mountain, the people couldn't look at his face. They had to put something over his head. They couldn't even look at him. And it is my prayer that when you yourself encounters God, your whole appearance changes. So that when people see you differently. They ask, what happened to you? Amen. The same thing happened when that small child, Samuel, encountered God. The Bible theologians say that Samuel was 12 years when the Lord spoke to him. 12. Some of us are, I think the youngest is maybe 15 or 16. And very unfortunately, some of us haven't heard the voice of God before. Samuel was 12 and God spoke to him and told him some great things that he was about to do. How are we? You all know that this year our team is speak to me, Lord. How many times have you prayed that the Lord will speak to you? The same thing happened when that small boy, Jeremiah, the Bible says that Jeremiah was 9 years when the Lord touched his mouth and he said, I have put in my words in your mouth. Jeremiah grew up to become one of the great prophets. 9 years, he encountered God. Amen. The same thing happened with our dear friend, Simon Peter. He was on the boat, and he was fishing. And Jesus told him, you are not going to be fishermen anymore. You are going to be fishers of men. Amen.
Amen.
And that Peter, he said, upon this rock will I build my church. Amen. He was just a fisherman. He had never been to school before. But God built his church through him as well. So you here as well, it is very important that you avail yourself to be encountered by God. Amen.
Amen.
The same thing happened with our friend Saul. Saul, we all know him, but we mostly know him by the name Apostle Paul. He became Apostle Paul. He had received a license to go and capture Christians and then kill them because he didn't want Christianity to spread. But on his way to Damascus, he encountered God. Amen. And he wrote most of the books of the New Testament. And that is what we base on, and we even make doctrines out of it. This man who was killing Christians, when he encountered God, his life changed. Amen.
Amen.
And he became a great apostle. And we just read about Jacob. Jacob, his name meant the deceiver. But when he met God, his name was changed. He was blessed, and his name was changed to Israel. Israel. Amen. From a deceiver to Israel. Amen. But something happened. Another woman encountered Jesus. And today we want to talk about that woman. Amen. So the title for this sermon is The Woman at the Well. Amen. The Woman at the Well. Can we please open our Bibles to John chapter 4? John chapter 4. Verse 3, if you are there, I want to read with you. I want you to read with me. John chapter 4. Verse number 3 going. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. That means it was about 12 o'clock in the afternoon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink?" Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him that he will give you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and the herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up of eternal life." Amen. It's a long passage. I will stop here. Amen. You see, as we all know, Jesus told us a story about the Good Samaritan. I always ask myself, why did he put the word, or why did he put the word good in front of a Samaritan? It's like saying the good Ghanaian, the Khudo Ghanaese. That doesn't sound right. That means Ghanaians are bad or something. The Good Samaritan. So Jesus again was traveling to Galilee. And the Bible says he had to go through Samaria. When you read the New King, the King James Version says he must need to go through Samaria. I never knew that you can put must and need in the same sentence. But Jesus must and needed to go through Samaria. Amen. When he got there, he went to sat at a well, and a woman came to approach him. And he asked that woman, "Can you give me something to drink?" The woman just said, "You are a Jew. Why are you asking me, a Samaritan, for water?" That means there is a story there. Amen. And now let me tell you about the history of the Samaritans. Amen. You see, in the early days, in the 18th and the 19th century, in the 8th and the 9th century, not the 18th, but in the 8th, it's a long time ago, even before Jesus came, but it was a long time ago. The kingdom of Israel was divided in two parts. They had the northern and they had the southern kingdom. And the northern kingdom, the capital of the northern kingdom was Samaria. And we had the other one, the southern kingdom. Samaria was the capital of the northern kingdom. And their king had done something to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria came to fight with. He actually captured the king of Samaria. And after capturing the king of Samaria, they came and captured all the people of Samaria. Amen. So they brought the people of Samaria back to Assyria. Assyria is what we now know as Syria, Iran, Iraq, and all those countries. So sometime later, the king of Assyria sent some Assyrians to go and live in Samaria. Do you get what I mean? He took, maybe these people are the Samaritans, yeah? The Samaritans. He came to capture you and brought you to Assyria. And then he sent some Assyrians to come and live in Samaria. Amen. So when they came there, they brought their own gods from Assyria, their country. But if you remember, God gave the Ten Commandments. Do not worship any god except me. Do you remember that God told the Israelites that? So the Assyrians came to live in Samaria. They were worshiping their own gods, and then God sent lions to come and kill them all. And they had to consult a prophet which they have captured to Assyria to come back to Samaria and teach the new people how to worship God. So when he came, when the prophet came, he taught them how to worship God. But these people, they still maintained their own gods. And that is why the Jews don't want to have anything to do with them, because they see them as unclean people. Because one, they have captured them. They even had some children with the people of Samaria, so their children were mixed race, so they didn't have anything to do with them. So Jews who are Israelites, and the Samaritans, the old Samaritans who were also Israelites, they didn't want to have anything with the Samaritans. So Jesus was traveling from Galilee, from Judea to Galilee. Judea is here, Samaria is here, and Galilee is there. Most Jewish people who are traveling to Galilee, they will not pass through Samaria because they see that country or that city as unclean. They will go all the way to somewhere else and then come to Galilee. Do you understand what I mean? They will do everything in their best to avoid going through Samaria. But Jesus had to go to Samaria. Why? Because there was somebody there. He had planned and orchestrated and had made his will that the people of Samaria also need salvation. Amen. And they can only receive this salvation if I go there myself and they encounter me. Amen. So he came there. He saw the woman. You see, one thing that is very funny is the people never go to the well to draw water in the afternoon. They always go in the morning or very late in the evening. But Jesus went to sat there. Let's say this is the well. Yeah? It's deep. Jesus came just to sit here at 12 o'clock in the noon. In the noon. He knows nobody comes there. Nobody goes to the well at the noon time. But he knew there was a certain woman who always came there in the noon. And then she came and she met Jesus. And in their conversations, Jesus told her, "Go and bring your husband." And the woman said, "I have 5 husbands. I have already had 5 husbands. And now I am living with the 6th one. And he hasn't even married me yet." And Jesus said, "You are right. It is true. But we need to understand the story of this woman. This woman, she avoided going to the well in the evening time because she will meet other women. And they will laugh at her. She will meet other people and they will ridicule her because she has so many men and all this stuff. But Jesus had to go there to meet this person. Jesus doesn't care how people call you, the name people have given to you. The Bible says he's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care where you have been to. The only thing he cares about is to have an encounter with you. You see, people say religion is man looking for God. But Christianity is far more than that. It is God looking for man. When Adam and Eve sinned, God came to the garden and he said, "Where are you? Where are you?" And the people said, "When we heard your voice, we were scared because we are naked." And Jesus said, "Who told you you are naked?" God said, "Who told you you are naked? Who told you you are good for nothing? Who told you you are too young to do something for God? Who told you you are too stupid to learn?" God doesn't care about all those negative stuff. All he wants is you say, "I want more of you." When he encounters you, your life changes. Amen. When God meets you, you see, when Jacob wrestled with that man, he held on to him. "I will not let you go until you bless me." Today you are in the presence of God. What are you asking from God? What are you demanding? She just sang the song, "I want more of you." Some of us, we want to live a holy life and we can't do it. So you have to hold on to God. You have to come on your knees and pray, "God, I want to live a righteous life. Help me. I don't want to be a sinner anymore. I can't go around being like this anymore." That is the type of thing that we have to be asking. A lot of people want to stand here and be preaching and be... This preaching, the way I prepared it from last year, and I was still doing it this morning. It wasn't done yet. Amen.
Amen.
But when you have an encounter with God, he changes you. I remember when I first went to Telford, to Britain, and I came there, they're like, I was going for the Lord's Supper, and the girl saw me. She's like, "He's an elder." The presenter was looking at me, "Whoa, way elder." Because that time I don't have barba, so my beard was a lot, and I was just looking somehow, and I just went to the church. But now they are getting to know me. And now all the youth, they keep calling. Even now I'm here, they keep calling. Everybody wants something from Emmanuel. Not money, because I don't have one, but I do have the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to give to you. That's the only thing I can do. Tell you about God. Amen. The great encounter. This lady, some people will call her promiscuous or something. 5 husbands and on her 6th one. And Jews and Samaritans don't have anything to do. You know, Jesus is a Jew. He is a rabbi. He is a teacher and he is the Messiah. And he knows that he hates sin. And the people of Samaria had sinned against him. But he still went there to their town. Amen. Today Jesus is here to encounter. Are you willing to listen to him? We preach all the time. We come here, we pray all the time. We cry, we go back, and we be the same people. That is not a great encounter. Do you have some friends that you have seen that they are now different? They dress different. They talk different. They act different because they say, "I am not a Christian." Most of us, I tell everybody, there are some people who are baptized, they eat the Lord's Supper, they do everything. They are even pastors, elders, deacons, and some, and they haven't even encountered God. And we just come and sit here. We come, we go. We come, we go. When are we going to demand something from God? God, speak to me. I was teaching the Sunday school children, when you go to sleep, tell God to speak to you. We need new visions for the church. Amen. That somebody will stand up and then prophesy something. You will not even dare to go and sit because you know that when he stand up to prophesy, you'll be like, maybe he's going to mention my name today. We need people who, like Elder was saying, we have so many talents here. That is all good. But we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That we will stand. You see, the Bible says, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but power. How many of us can go outside and preach? We have Facebook, Twitter, and everything. Nobody puts anything there. I deleted a lot of you. Yeah, you. Not a lot of other people. You. From my Snapchat. And I know some deleted me as well, because when I see it, I will tell you it is wrong. Everybody wants to twerk on Snapchat. You are doing Bible studies, you want to go on Snapchat and then just look at something and then you see how people are living their life. And then you come, everybody, hey, come on. And I'm what? And then I just go there and delete you. But before I do that, I tell you, if you don't listen, don't cry, I've said it. You can hate me. The Bible says, Jesus told his disciples, they will hate you because they have already hated me. So I will hate you will hate me also because I told you the truth. I will keep saying the truth. Amen. Amen. And today I'm telling you the truth is that you need a great encounter. Amen. Amen. But the most important thing I want to tell you today is what this lady did. Let us open our Bible to you. The same John chapter 4, but this time verse 39 to 42. 39 to 42. John chapter 4, 39 to 42. Many of the Samaritans from the town, somewhere else. Okay. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Amen. He told me everything I did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed for 2 days. And because of this word, many more became believers. They said to the woman, this is where you have to pay attention. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you have said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the savior of the world. Amen.
Amen.
You see what happened? This woman had an encounter with God. She ran back to her town and told everybody about Jesus. I have met the Messiah. I have met the Messiah. And they believed her. Yeah, true, because we're all waiting for the Messiah to come. So when they heard that the Messiah is here, they believed her. But they went with her to Jesus. And the Bible says they urged him to stay with them for 2 days. Some other things is they demanded or they begged him to stay with them for 2 days. They begged Jesus, stay with us for 2 days. Jesus stayed there for 2 days. And the people told the woman, we do not believe anymore because you told us. But we have come to believe it ourselves. We have seen him for ourselves. So that means when I preach to you, you may have conviction and you may believe, yes, Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Yes, those are the things that I am telling you, or God through me is telling you. But you have to urge. You have to beg God for yourself and say, God, reveal yourself to me. Do you get what I mean? If I tell you you have a father somewhere, you will want to try and find who your father is, right? The Bible says Jesus is the gift of God to us. We have received a gift. If I give you a gift today, and you go home and put that gift on your bed, and you don't open it, you never know what is inside the gift, right? It is wrapped and everything, but you don't know. You have to open it, amen, to see what I bought for you. How many of us are willing and to urge God or to beg God to stay with them? How many of us? The Bible says he must need to go to Samaria. And he went there. Amen. That woman went from a woman with 5 husbands and 6 boyfriends or something, or the 6 boyfriend, to become the first evangelist to bring the word to Samaria. Some people will call her a prostitute or anything, but God changed her name. We call her the Samaritan woman, but she's an evangelist. She went to tell others about Christ, and they all followed her. What about you? You have come to see God. Who are you telling? Who are you telling? Some of us, our friends will even laugh at us when they know, or if they know, we even go to church. But you, our life has to change. It's no more a joke. It's not a joke anymore. I went to, my local. There was this girl, she was singing. And a day before, I went, because my friends, they live somewhere else and I live another place, because I don't want to live with them. They make too much noise. So I walked 20 minutes to their place every day. So when I was walking there, one day in the evening, I saw one of the girls from my church. With this guy, he was beating her up and she was saying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." He's beating her and she's saying, "I'm sorry." So I spoke to her, I called a taxi for her, and then she went home. The following day, she came to church, she was in the choir singing. And there, I am an elder, but I don't sit on the platform. I always sit at the drums. So I saw her singing and I just went there, "Come with me." And I brought her back and "Go and sit down. If you stop begging boys and saying sorry, then you can come and sing." Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
We need to change some things about us. We need to allow God to transform us. Amen.
Amen.
We are children of God. We don't need to be begging anybody. The only person we need to be begging is God.
Yes.
To stay with us. If you are here begging any girl to stay with you, please, may God forgive you. Change your mind. And if you are here begging anybody, please, we want more of God. You see the song Irene sang today? "I want more of you, God, not I want more of Kwame." Amen. You need to have an encounter with God. He is the one who can save you. He is the one who can change your life. He is the one who can totally transform you. And the people see you, they'll be like, "Wow."
Amen.
He is ready. He's always willing. He must and he need to have an encounter with you. Are you going to beg him to stay with you? Now this program is over. This program is coming to an end today. We are still fasting. I wanted to take something to drink, but I just remembered you are fasting and I'm here thirsty. And I just said to myself, maybe I need some of the living water so that I will not thirst anymore. Amen.
Amen.
But after today, what are you going to do? You are going to eat. Amen. But as you eat, you ask God, "Let your will be done." Amen. Let your will be done in my life. I want to come back again. And when I come, we see prophets. We are preaching. Somebody stand up and start to prophesy. Somebody starts to see vision. They come and say, I had a dream. And God was taking that assembly, like Adabu was saying, to another place, to higher and higher. And if somebody is saving that, you can even say, Apollo John, tell the person to go and sit down. Because it's time to stop making jokes. And it's all fun. Of course, we are all young. We are all young. And the leaders here, we are blessed that most of us, we are all young. The people I sit down on the platform with, they are like grandfathers. And I'm just there. So people see me, they're like, how? I'm like, I'm not young, I'm 28. They're like, yeah, you're young. Do you know when I became a deacon? They're like, yeah, they were 40, they were something before they became deacons. So, you small boy, you are sitting here as an elder, and you can tell these old women to please don't talk. Wow. It's a favor of God that is upon our lives. Amen. And you today are here. Urge God to stay with you. Urge God to speak to you. If you go to sleep, put the phone down. Let God speak to you. Pray before you go to bed. When you wake up, pray as well. Beg God to reveal himself to you. And let his anointing fall upon you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As I bring this message to an end, Jesus went to Samaria. He had nothing to do there, somebody will say, but he had a purpose. Amen. In a sinful city, where nobody wanted to go, this man went and he changed lives. You can also change lives in the heart if you speak about God and bring your people here to meet God. Amen.
Amen.
So please. Peter, James, and John, they encountered God while they were on the sea. And they became apostles. So I say to you, do not just rely upon this teaching that I give you today. But put that in your mind. And as we are about to pray, we pray to God. God, I urge you, I beg you to reveal yourself to me. Because I don't want to come to heaven and I'm standing there and I'll be like, but Elder Emmanuel told me that if we do this. No, it is not what Elder Emmanuel told you. It is what God told you in the Bible. Amen. It is not what Elder Boom or Elder Albert or Elder anybody told you, the king, anybody. It is what God told you. And what God told you is in the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
Paul said something. He said, but the people, no, Peter said it. He said, but the people of, I don't remember that name, but that town. He said, but the people from that town, they are different. They are totally different. Because when they hear the word, they will go home, they search through the scriptures to see if what the preacher was saying was true. That is in the Bible. So what you need to do, that's why I said take your pen and take your notebooks. Go home, search through your scriptures. Somebody was looking at me when I was telling the story about the Samaritans. It is in the Bible. Go home, read it. 2 Kings chapter 17. You see how those people became the Samaritans. That is why the Jews don't want to have anything with them. 2 Kings chapter 17. Read it and urge God to reveal himself to you. Amen.
Amen.
May God bless you.
Amen. Amen.